Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Wow, that was an unexpected break. Everything went dark. Even in my room, it just all went pitch black all of a sudden. And then we suddenly come back again. So I am reanimated. But it means we're going to go straight on to the news with Ruckus, of course. So on Wednesday, Elon Musk's startup company, Neuralink, said that it has experienced problems with its brain-computer interface that was surgically implanted into its first ever human patient earlier this year. What a surprise. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, come on, tell us about these brain worms, brain interfaces, whatever. I don't know.
I know. It's hard to tell the difference between the two brain. There's something in my brain stories today because there's so much of that going on in the headlines. But yes, as RFK Jr., of course, is dealing with his brain worms, we have a human being on the planet, as we're speaking, Johnny, who's been dealing with a different type of a brain worm, the technocratic kind. Yes, Elon Musk's company, Neuralink, came out and has admitted that its first ever implant that has been inserted inside of a human being's brain. We got a problem. It's malfunctioned. Neuralink's BCI, brain-computer interface, was implanted into 29-year-old patient Nolan Arbaugh's brain back in January. Ever since then, we've all been wondering how he's doing. This is designed to help patients with paralysis control external technology using only their mind. Arbaugh, who was paralyzed from the shoulders down due to a diving accident 8 years ago, he is participating in Neuralink's 6-year trial to test the chip's safety. Why won't they just fast track this through like they did with the Jibby Jab? I don't understand. Just last month, how this thing works, it contains 1,024 electrodes spread across 64 quote unquote threads that are thinner than a strand of hair. Last month, Neuralink live streamed a presumably real, you never know these days, 9-minute video of Arbaugh showing how the BCI technology works. He could be seen playing video games using his brain. This demo explained he simply imagines the cursor moving where he wants it to go, and it does, like magic. Neuralink's chip, as I mentioned, contains those electrodes. These electrodes are programmed to gather data about the brain's neural activity and movement intention, and then send that data to the company's computer for decoding to transform the thoughts into action. Sounds complicated. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's all fake. However, in the weeks since the astounding video, here's what Neuralink has to say. Quote, a number of threads retracted from the brain, Arbaugh's brain, resulting in a net decrease in the number of effective electrodes, end quote. This is what they said, Neuralink, in a blog post just yesterday on Wednesday, which first got picked up and reported on by the Wall Street Journal. As a result of this, this malfunction, this problem, as it were, Neuralink was not able to measure how effective its system of electrodes and threads was performing. It was unclear at this time how many threads malfunctioned. There's a lot of them. 64 threads, remember. Okay. Let's see. Neuralink adds, quote, in response to this change, we modified the recording algorithm to be more sensitive to neural population signals, improved the techniques to translate these signals into cursor movements, and enhanced the user interface, end quote. Okay. Neuralink insists that the refinement will enhance the accuracy of Arbaugh's ability to control the cursor's bits per second, BPS, which according to the company is, quote, the standard measure for speed and accuracy, end quote. I didn't know that. Neuralink said that, quote, these refinements produced a rapid and sustained improvement in BPS that has now superseded Nolan's initial performance, end quote. Oh, joy. So at first I thought we were going to have a serious problem here, Johnny, and they were going to admit they had a problem like the same kind of problem they had with the monkeys when it fried their brains. But no, alas, the problem is they're having trouble, you know, maintaining the efficiency of their recording for the purposes of their algorithm. How silly. But what say you about this story, my friend?
Yeah, when that video came out, I was in the living room with my friend Monkey, and he was watching this video as though it was an actual presentation of how wonderful this thing was, rather than an advert by Elon Musk's people to advertise the new brain chip and how everything was wonderful and working perfectly. And I was just like, these are the same people who killed all those monkeys. 100% this is going to have issues galore. This is just, it's advertising more human experimentation. That's basically all we have nowadays, is we just have human experimentation after human experimentation after human experimentation. I looked across at the chat while you were talking, and Dark Commission said Michael Crichton's first book, The Terminal Man, deals with a brain implanted man, was also a film starring George Segal. Book was published in 1972. So, you know, we've known that these sort of things are going to, like, you know, come. They've known these things are going to happen. But they to get to the point where you can test them on humans, you have to find not only someone who's willing, but someone who's also been pumped full of the adverts and the belief that this is going to change their life. So I feel quite sorry for the guy involved, because I'm sure he's hoping that it could change his life permanently rather than keep malfunctioning all the time. And it's likely to continue like this. Technology like this is not going to be easy to implement. There's going to be a lot of test subjects that they go through, and I would hope that his safety has been of utmost importance. But with what they do, I'm not sure that it's possible that this is something that they're going to do. I just, when I saw it, when it was on, I actually screamed eventually, just turn it off! Just turn it off! I can't be bothered listening to any more adverts about something which all sounds like, oh, look how wonderful this is. Look how brilliant this is. Look how amazing this is. Well, now I want a 7-minute video about how it's all gone tits up, and I want the same thing to be put on the other side, you know. But that's not going to happen, of course. What's going to happen is they're going to keep giving you this idea that the future is just around the corner, the technology is just around the corner. Why don't you put something in your brain? Hey, we've got these new brain chips that are coming out next year as well. And that's what we're looking at, because this is manufacturing consent for the very near future experimentation on humans. This is manufacturing consent for sticking things in your brain, and they did a really good job of it, and then they have to withdraw, like, some of the, oh yes, okay, so it went a little wrong, but don't worry, I mean, this is still not dead monkeys, but it's just around the corner from that. Terrible, terrible times. Has Elon Musk said anything about it yet?
I don't think he particularly has. I didn't go that far. I mean, he's too busy commenting on every other problem around the world that has nothing to do with him. But I have a couple problems with this whole idea. Number one, they're using this poor guy as a guinea pig, okay? And what they're doing is the same way that Elon Musk is using all of us on X as guinea pigs to train and feed an algorithm. It's mm-hmm. the same thing with this stupid AI, Grok, scouring all of our thoughts, ideas, comments, likes, wishes, desires, nightmares, Johnny, to feed the algorithm for the bot. Same thing here. They're using this disabled person to teach this program how to better interact with the human brain so that everyone can be blessed with the wonderful life-saving technology of being able to move a cursor using their mind. It's so ridiculous. None of this is life-saving technology. It's all garbage, and I want nothing to do with it.
The first time I ever came across Grok was in 2019. I didn't know what it was before then. And it was when I was researching the Epstein associate nobody's talking about Nicole Yunkerman and her investments. She's now invested in SpaceX as well. She's an intelligence-linked Epstein associate. Most of the people who are involved in these sort of technologies are related to intelligence agencies, because really what the intelligence agencies want to do is get inside your mind. Thank you for that, Ruckus. I'll see you tomorrow for some more news. Really appreciate it, though. Cheers.
See you then, my friend.
Indeed. Now, We're going to go for a quick break on the Johnny Bedmore Show. I hope we come back. And you're watching today's news talk, TNT.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Royd.
The longer it takes for a company to do disaster recovery and get back to business, the longer it takes for their customers to be back in contact with, you know, the products and services they're using from the businesses that you're protecting. So, I mean, it's sort of a domino effect. It's not just the company, but all of that company's customers. And these days in the modern era, I mean, as they say for the young people, instant gratification isn't instant enough. I mean, we want disaster recovery to happen in minutes, if not hours, like at the most. And in the past, it could have taken days.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And in fact, where I'm coming to you from, Western Canada, our biggest pharmacy chain here had a ransomware attack 4 or 5 days ago, and their stores have literally been closed now for going on day six, where nobody's able to get prescriptions. Like, can you imagine not being able to fill your prescriptions because of a cyber attack? I mean, it's devastating, not just to the business and the people who are financially impacted there, but just to our community in general.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royd on today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm an actor in an ad that was given 12 seconds to remind you that if you're high, just don't drive. Because if you feel different, you drive different. It's illegal to drive high everywhere anyway.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Asthma is a growing problem, especially among children. Asthma affects the quality of life for millions like me every single day. My name is Chris Draft, and I have asthma. And I've spent more than a decade in the NFL tackling asthma on and off the field. Join me in the EPA in helping people control their asthma. Asthma is a lung condition that can be controlled through medication and by avoiding things that can make it worse. 3 steps are the solution to controlling asthma. Step 1, talk to a doctor. Step 2, make a plan. And step 3, get rid of things that can make it worse. Asthma can be tackled. For more information on asthma, log on to epa.gov/asthma.
TNT.
Good for fans of justice and truth.
Today's news talk. TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Bedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. It's been a very interesting time, technologically speaking. My next guest on the Johnny Bedmore Show is another newbie to the show, but many of you will already know all about him. Bryce Eddy is an entrepreneur businessman. He has spent more than 25 years in risk management, insurance, security industries. Bryce has spent a lifetime in martial arts and holds a black belt under the legendary Jean-Jacques Machado and owns 805 Combat Sports in Southern California. Bryce serves as a consultant for private security firms and partners with law enforcement agencies to train individuals, veterans, and LEO for work in the world of safety and security. He also sits on the board of one of the country's most prominent conservative political organizations and hosts a show on the Salem Podcast Network. You can find him on X at Bryce Eddy, that's Eddy is E-D-D-Y 1, and visit his website at BryceEddy.com. Bryce, thanks very much for coming on the Johnny Bedmore Show. It's great to make the connection. Nice to meet you, my friend.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. So you're seriously a guy who obviously has a lot of experience, and obviously you don't have brain worms, which is good for you. So I listened to you saying the other day that there's never been a worse president in history of America than Joe Biden. But isn't he representative of nearly all of the American political elite who have clung on to power and who are now shaking, senile, drooling messes, both Democrat and Republican alike?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got an establishment here that really is the uniparty. And, you know, Joe Biden hasn't been in charge for a very long time, if he ever was. You know, he's a puppet for the elite oligarchy. And that's really the battle that we're fighting right now. We are communism and socialism is the sales pitch, but you know what the globalists want to usher in is really feudalism 2.0. They want us to be slaves, and that's what we're fighting against by having shows like this.
Yeah, it's quite amazing to watch some of it as well, because I mean, from the outside point of view, they've tried to fill their ranks. The Democrats especially have tried to fill their ranks with a new generation that they plan on handing over to power to. And that those are people, of course, like AOC and Kamala Harris. But once the old guard are gone, won't these pretenders just crumble under the pressure? And aren't they just another sign that the American empire seems to be falling to pieces at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we are now a pagan nation that has kind of had a great fall. I mean, we have squandered what really was, you know, one of the greatest experiments ever, and the Republic is dead. Now, we can come back and there can be revivals, and that's what I'm hoping for. And I think, you know, many people in seats like mine, that's what we're after, and that's what we're fighting for.
Yeah, well, you've got to keep fighting, obviously. So you want people to vote Republican in the coming election, but even though many voters trust Trump, isn't he just going to be standing amongst the swamp creatures again?
Yeah, but I think he's learned a lot. I think many of us have learned a lot, right? You know, when he was talking about drain the swamp, you know, he was coming in and looking at it like a business guy. And the problem is that it isn't a business. And what he needed was, you know, 20,000. I think it was, Steve Bannon said that he needed 20,000 shock troops to parachute in and take over management positions in the administration. And that didn't happen. But I think he's learned that lesson. And there's people like Rick Grenell and others that are going to go through this this government with a chainsaw. And so I'm optimistic that some real good things can happen.
That's good. I'm glad you're optimistic. We're going to take a quick 30-second break for the news. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
Now, big news, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. President Joe Biden acknowledged that U.S.-made bombs have been used in attacks that resulted in civilian casualties in Gaza. The EU has decided to expropriate revenue generated from frozen Russian assets to support Ukraine, with the plan requiring formal approval by the EU Council. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., current independent presidential candidate and nephew of President John Kennedy, previously feared he had a brain tumor due to severe memory loss and brain fog.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Right, you're a strong man, Bryce. You're a martial artist like my father. My father was, before he took the jab, he was in his 70s and training the police in Kashinkai Karate. But if we turn on our TV sets today, many of us are led to believe that America is full of weak, ineffectual, gender-fluid children. Is that a true image, or is that what the programmers want us to see America as being like?
Well, you know, we are diminished. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Testosterone in men are down to what levels of an 85-year-old would have had that was born in, you know, World War II era. I mean, there's really a dramatic decrease. And I think it has to do with our nutrition, the, you know, toxicity in our environment. There's a bunch of factors there. Plus, you know, there's a lot of dudes that are just sitting on their butts and not getting after it. And then you've got the political pressure and the feminization of us that has led to it. So it's a very complex problem. But, you know, listen, give me just a few very strong men and we can take this back.
That's one of the things that a lot of people are discussing at the moment as well, is that there needs to be some strength in America. But will the attempt to enact strength just lead to something like civil war, do you think?
Well, we're already in a civil war. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, we're in a fifth generation war right now. You know, first generation is like Braveheart. You know, you're running across a field at each other, hacking each other with swords, right? Second generation warfare, rifling and technology makes distance possible. You know, you get to lob projectiles at each other. And then we move into what we had in World War II, which was a third generation style war where we were bombing enemy supply lines, you know, blowing up their factories, you know, doing some disinformation and, you know, campaigns like that. But fourth and fifth generation warfare is decentralized. It is attacking the enemy's ideals. It's lawfare. It's cyber warfare. It's all of these sort of things that we've been experiencing. It always ends up kinetic at some point. And I think even with a Trump victory, and maybe especially with a Trump victory, we're going to have some violence. I mean, I think it's inevitable. It's the course of history.
Yeah, I get a feeling. I mean, I talk with David Summerall a bit about J6, January 6th, and what happened there. And that was obviously, I mean, just looks like an operation. It just looks like an intelligence operation to make it really hard for Trump to get back into office and for them to hold ammunition against him. So who is behind this? Because it's obviously not just the Democrats. They're involved in doing this. There's a deep state. There's this deep state action going on, isn't there? And who are the real people who are pulling the strings and trying to stop Trump taking power?
Yeah, no, the deep state is absolutely real. It's not a conspiracy, and we know that because they write what they're going to do. We've seen it. There's been information that's gotten released over time. I mean, now everybody accepts that there was some monkey business with the JFK assassination, to put it quite mildly. You know, there's a lot of accepted fact out there. I was asked the other day, when do I think it turned? And it was the JFK assassination. It was that time where they decided that they were going to control who our presidents were. They were going to have undue influence in our politics. I mean, things that they were never created to do. And really, it's the administrative state. It's the intelligence community. And then behind the scenes on that, it is the what I call the elite oligarchy, the people that do not want us to have sovereign nations. They do not want us to be sovereign as individuals. That's also why you see the attack on families. Family is the smallest form of government. And we're seeing that being disrupted in every way we can. That's what the transgender nonsense is about. It's what all of those things are. Again, the goal is for us to be slaves. You know, that's what was it? Noah Yuval Harari of the World Economic Forum has said, you know, what are we going to do with these useless people? I know, it's going to be a combination of video games and drugs. You know, they would like us to serve their means while they, you know, do their thing and run around on their corporate jets.
Yep. And you go back in time and you'll hear long before, probably around the time Yuval Noah Harari was being born, you have Herman Kahn of the Hudson Institute working for the State Department in the late 60s. And he's saying exactly the same. They've already worked out all the technologies that are going to come in the future. And they're saying, well, maybe we can slip things in the water supply and calm people down to stop people revolting. You know, what you said there about JFK, is completely spot on. That was the last time that America, I think Jimmy Carter was a blip. There was he kind of like, and they took him out, really. I mean, the October surprise and the Iran-Contra affair being mixed up, that was a full-on CIA operation to make sure that George H.W. Bush and Reagan took power over Carter. So they pushed him out well. But I think out of that, you're completely right. The presidents since then have been under control. What makes you think that Trump is different in that sense then?
Well, he was a true outsider, and he was also rebellious. And I mean, look at what they've had to do. I mean, he already had the reputation he had. You know, it was like this guy was, to a certain extent, you know, all of his proclivities, all of his sins were kind of out there in the open. You know, they knew who this guy was. He knows who he is. And so it's very tough. They had to make up things. I mean, the Russian prostitutes peeing on him and, you know, things like that, that they had to gin up and manufacture the Russian, collusion hoax. You know, they are doing everything they possibly can to destroy him. But the secret to him is, you know, we know who he was, you know, and he came out, from behind the curtain and said, the game is rigged. It's fixed against you. I know this because I'm a part of it.
Yeah, and of course, the Russian PP rumors were from the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele being the handler for Pablo Miller, who was the handler for Sergei Skripal with the Salisbury poisoning, and lots of spy games going on there. My last article was actually about Christopher Steele, Pablo Miller, and Sergei Skripal, and it's an amazing, you know, they got some of the most deepest of the deep state to come in and smear Trump on that occasion. Now, there's a question from the chat room here from Dark Commission saying, do individual states have the right to secede? And if not, why not?
Well, they do. I mean, there's I believe that we have forgotten so much that we are a republic in a collection of states, right? And while I don't think that the balkanization of America would be in our favor, and I think there's some real trauma that would come from that, and we don't want to be in a real civil war, but the states do have a tremendous amount of power, and they should be exercising it. And I'm encouraged when you see states like Texas and Florida simply defy the Biden administration outright on things, and more states being willing to do that will work in our favor without having to succeed.
Yeah, there needs to be pressure, and real pressure needs to be states saying, okay, well, if you're going to create a country like this, we are going to go out of this country, and there needs to be... But doesn't that mean a rewriting of the Constitution? Doesn't that mean a new moment that it could be co-opted by these exact deep state actors we're talking about?
Well, look, unfortunately, our Constitution, which is the governing document of our land, has been destroyed. I mean, it is every single amendment, if you just go through it and think about it, have been attacked. Every single one has been, you know, pushed aside in favor of what our deep state wants. We saw it with the Fourth Amendment just recently with the FISA warrants and all that stuff. It's already happening. People don't realize, I think, that the wheels have come off and we are as far down the path as we have been.
Yeah. What's your take on the Gaza protests on campuses across America then?
You know, I think that one's interesting. For a little while there, I was thinking that it wasn't something that was ginned up at all. And it was something that was a little bit organic. Like they let the gremlins out of the box back in the, you know, summer of love, right? They created this, and you know, we were on the ground working some operations where we had guys embedded in the crowd. We witnessed payouts. We witnessed them directing. I mean, it was created in order to kind of destroy things, right? They want to break things so they can recreate it in their own image. And this one did. This one had the feel of like the useful idiots went off the reservation a little bit. But it turns out we do have some evidence that it was ginned up and it was paid for. We've got some big Biden supporters that were doing it too, but it started to look really bad and it did not have the effect that they wanted. And it backfired a little bit, which is why you saw almost overnight, somebody made a phone call and all of a sudden the authorities started stepping in and dismantling some of these camps. And you saw it happen very, very quickly.
Yeah, there was a lot of there is a lot to see as suspicious in there, but of course there's a lot of people who can see that what's going on in Gaza is completely horrific. So it's not a surprise that people want to protest, but someone was saying to me the other day about the spontaneity of the protest. It was Mike Netta was saying, you know, these things used to be spontaneous, but nowadays they're very contrived. But I do think that it's easy to co-opt when you know there's going to be spontaneity, when you know that there's going to be a reaction from these campuses. There's another question in the chat, again from Dark Commission, saying, when are U.S. citizens going to use the Second Amendment for its real intention rather than using it to take their kids to Walmart with a cannon strapped to their thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny. Whenever somebody comes up to you in a crowd and says, when are the guns come out, Bryce? And I have that all the time. You know, those are the people I turn away from because, you know, FBI and organizations that would love nothing more than for us to, in small groups, go and do stupid things. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that is. And there is no way to predict. And that's a very dangerous road to go down. I know what my line is. I know what my friends' lines are. And some of that I'm going to keep a mystery, because I think we can still win in a political process. And it starts with community. And this is what I would advise everyone listening is, you know, the part of the reason I moved to where I moved to here in Idaho, and I have business all over the United States, and I still split my time between here and California, which is where I'm from. But I'm a political refugee here in Idaho, and we are doing some very serious things in the community here very intentionally to protect us, to make sure that we have strong people. And strong people in even small groups can be very effective at resisting tyranny.
Yeah. His Dark Commission just says one last thing. He said, not a question. Please just say thanks for the great answers. So he really appreciates your answers. We're going to go quickly to a break. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. But the danger to animals the world over is growing, and the need for your help has never been more urgent. On land, you'll help stop poachers from threatening and killing elephants and big cats for the illegal wildlife trade. In the oceans, you'll help rescue dolphins, whales, and seals from deadly hazards. And you'll help rescue, rehabilitate, and release vulnerable animals when disasters strike. Here at home and around the world, we can't do this work without you. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is him. Every day he's hungry for something. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then it kind of starts to work itself out.
No propaganda.
No lies.
And definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Definitely happy to be speaking with Bryce Eddy here about loads of stuff here. I mean, really interesting. You got a really good mind on you. You got really good knowledge. We got to speak again on many occasions. I want to ask a question about Trump and Israel, really, because do you think that Trump will continue to support Israel wholeheartedly if he gets back into office?
You know, that's an interesting one. I think he will support Israel, but I mean, I'll tell you what my position is, and I think our position should be. I'm a low interventionist, not a non-interventionist, but I think it should be rare that we intervene in things, and I think it's a mistake to be sending our money over to foreign concerns and foreign wars and all of that. And we've done far too much of that as a nation. Now, I am very pro-Israel. And at the same time, I will criticize their government. I will criticize their actions. They need to be held accountable for things. So I think you can be supportive of them in a moral sense. I think you can be supportive of them to a certain extent with resources, but they can fight on their own. And we do not need to be sending billions of dollars to Israel or to the Ukraine. I'm an America first. And part of that is the idea of, you know, we got to put on the air masks on the plane on us, you know, before we put it on the kids. Right. And we have at our own expense and to our own detriment done so much fiddling around in politics around the world that we have actually went from creating a safer world to actually creating an unsafe world by our meddling. And we see that from what we did in Iraq and other places where we wanted to play the political game. much of this, again, driven by our intelligence communities and their nefarious purposes and the military war industrial complex. And we have lined the pockets of our politicians and our businesses, you know, at the expense of the American taxpayer.
Do you understand why people would have concern? Because I mean, Trump last time, a lot of the high up offices were held by Jewish people who have, of course, you know, a love for the state of Israel. The amount of money that goes, I know you're an American first, but I mean, the amount of money that goes towards Israel, the obvious connections with people like Jared Kushner, the potential Moshiach, as some people call him, that there is such a close relationship between Israel and America that it's concerning for quite a lot of people, especially during a time like when we see the conflict, what looks really like it's out of control.
Yeah, I don't know that it is out of control, to be honest. I think there's a tremendous amount of propaganda. For some reason, you know, everybody's comfortable calling out the propaganda on the Israel side and then not on Hamas's side. And I find that fascinating. You know, the numbers don't add up. There's, you know, all kinds of things that we should be critically looking at. And I believe we should do that on both sides. I believe that there should be very little daylight between us and our allies, and that includes Israel. But also, Israel is a secular government. You know, I'm a Christian kid, and they have done some wicked things. We can look at Epstein and other what I believe were Mossad and CIA operations and other things that they've done that should be condemned. And I'm comfortable doing that. And it's not anti-Semitic to condemn things or to call out, you know, behaviors of groups of people from a cultural standpoint. There's, you know, nothing wrong with being honest about stuff. And again, I've been a longtime supporter of Israel and a supporter of all of our Western allies. But we have, again, at the expense of the American taxpayer, at the expense of our own safety, we have done a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, there's... No, I will accept, because I feel like I'm on the Palestinian side. I feel like I'm on the Palestinian side because Israel has such mighty weapons, such an obvious power, have a really efficient intelligence service, and know how to play the publicity game much better than I agree. You know, there's a lot of people are only saying, oh, Israel bad, Hamas not so bad, but it's not true. There's lots of bad things that's happened on both sides, but this is an occupied zone, it's an occupied area, so don't you feel that there should be someone else and not Israel acting as the police in this area?
Well, it'd be interesting if we did that. I believe that. So I am, for the record, not in favor of the civilians being ground in between the gears of war. I mean, that is wicked. That is awful. However, the fact of the Palestinian existence is manufactured, and it is created to create chaos in the Middle East and used to bludgeon Israel in the Middle East. And you know, if it doesn't take, you know, very much for you to go through the history of that, the history of the conflict, the made up nature of the Palestinian people. And a lot of folks, you know, they'll bristle at that. But the truth is we're talking about Egyptians, Jordanians, and a whole mishmash of Arabs. That land, the history of the land, has been fictional, and I am not in favor of the political narrative that has been out there. You say that Israel has done better publicity. I'm not so sure, because I'm all of a sudden in the minority, and there's a lot of people out there that believe that the Palestinians were there before the Israelis, or that land, there's a fictional history that is predominant right now. And so, you know, we could do a whole show on that.
Yeah, indeed we could. I did a show called News Theory about that, called Palestine is a Conspiracy Theory? Because if you actually look at the genetics of Palestine, the what we call the Palestinian people, are genetic 50 to 80% genetically similar to the Canaanite people and have been in the region for 11 to 15,000 years. So that's a long time.
I have some information on that. This is a point where we would disagree, because they're all Semites. They all share a common heritage. They all go back, in that land. They are all a Semitic people, and so I'm not so sure that line is accurate or helpful. I know where you get it from, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic on this one. But again, I come from a biblical worldview that also lays out a promise of that land to the Israeli people, and we've had Jews existing in that land the entire time, and hundreds of years before Arabs or Islam existed.
I love disagreeing with certain things like this, especially things that are hot debate topics, and normally people won't really discuss them. But I can tell you that's from actual genetic testing, and 50 to 80% of the Palestinians share Canaanite DNA, and 50 to 60% of all Israelis are also Canaanite DNA. And this is really shocking for a lot of Israelis. So they are all 50+% Canaanites, and Canaanites were there before. Now, in the biblical sense, they were supposed to, the Jews were supposed to have gone into Canaan and destroyed everybody. They literally, say everybody got killed. We killed the whole lot of them, which, of course, again, that doesn't seem like a very nice thing to have done, but it didn't actually happen. They mixed, and genetically, that's where that information comes from. That's from genetic testing. So, listen, we could have a long conversation about that, and I'd love to.
I love having more conversation on these things is what we should be doing. There should be no topics that are off limit. We should seek, as Dennis Prager says, seek clarity versus agreement on things. That's what makes, good, healthy discourse.
I love hearing that from you, Bryce. I'm really big fan of that. Now, there's a couple of questions, again, spicy questions before, because we've only got a few minutes left, like about 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes. There's a question from Lord Melbury. It says, ask Bryce why there are so many Jewish people occupying the top jobs in the U.S. administration, whether it be Trump or Biden.
So some of that is true. Some of that is not true. And I could tell you the reasons are, is because some of those things, when you look at those lists, they're just completely wrong. The other day, because I said something that, was considered a block against some of these things and ideas, the response to me was, okay, Jew. And I've ended up on lists like that. You look at it, you do the research, and it's like every other person in the administration is Jewish. And I know personally people that have been put on those lists that aren't, myself included.
Yeah. I have also been put on those lists, even though that I'm on the other side. Go on.
I will say one thing, that is absolutely true. So if you do believe in the biblical worldview, the Jews have been uniquely blessed, and they are also gifted with some very important traits. They are gifted with some very important disciplines and ethics and things that will cause a community to rise to the top. And that is just normal and natural, and that's not unique to the Jews. I mean, look at what's happening with Asians and their success, and it has to do with core principles that are blessed by God. Good decision making, tight communities, tight families, all those sort of things will allow someone to rise up in a society. And there's nothing wrong with it.
I know that there was, I had a Trusik on recently. He's a preacher, and he would say, yes, but if you believe in the biblical telling, then it would be that when Christ returned, that changed the game, and the Jewish people were no longer blessed by God. They had to follow a different scripture, and they haven't.
They're in rebellion. So they're in rebellion, right? But their story is not done on the, you know, on the Jewish people, and so there's I mean, this is an hour long conversation,
isn't it?
And what we call replacement theology, which is the idea that that it's over for them, and I don't believe that that's biblical.
Okay, awesome. Bryce, Eddie, we've run out of time. Thank you so much. I wish we could I could ask you more questions. We're gonna have to do this again sometime. Honestly, brilliant. It's brilliant. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care, Johnny.
Awesome. Well, thank you to all those in the chat who are always willing to give me their 2 pence worth. It's been awesome. Honestly, you've asked loads of questions. I know I couldn't get through all of your questions. I'm sorry about that. Thanks to everybody who's watching and listening to the show. You keep us rocking. On next on TNT, of course, is the Mark Barano Show. So stay tuned. Remember, my friends, stay safe. Stay awake, don't go changing, and thanks for being with me. See you again tomorrow on today's News Talk, ENT.